And good afternoon to the Bill Buckmaster Show on KVOI 1030 AM. My name is Jim Kelly, filling in for Bill Buckmaster while he's on a well-deserved vacation. Ray is our engineer today, and today we're going to be talking about Proposition 205, which is the marijuana initiative. And just to give you a little bit of where we're coming from, Slate Magazine says 60% of Americans are broadly accepting of the legalization of marijuana. But where those poll numbers change is at the state levels, particularly arguing about who and how it's going to be regulated. Will it be regulated by a legislature, or in the case of Arizona, will it be regulated by citizen initiative Prop 205? In studio with me is Laura Ciscomani, who will be speaking against Proposition 205. And on the phone is Dimitri Dowling, who will be speaking for Proposition 205. Dimitri, are you there?
Yes, here, I'm here.
Outstanding. Well, let's get started. Dimitri, first question is to you. What is the best part of Proposition 205?
Well, the best part about Proposition 205 is, as you said, you know, should it be the legislature who regulates it or the citizens? The fact of the matter is the legislature in Arizona is probably never going to legalize marijuana, but I don't like to even say legalize marijuana. I like to say end prohibition. The best part about Prop 205 is that it ends prohibition. I tell people, look, you know, I've been a lobbyist working in the medical marijuana industry for 4 years, 100% certain that it's a drug and it's a medicine and it should be regulated, researched, tested, et cetera, et cetera. The whole adult use debate, you know, long gone are those people from the 70s, 80s, and 90s who are saying, the world would be a better place if everybody smoked marijuana. Prop 205 is not pushing the concept of using marijuana. No one is pushing the concept of using marijuana. If that was the case, I wouldn't be supporting it. What Prop 205 does is it switches the realities of the marijuana policy and marijuana realities that we have in place from a black market, gray market, to a tax and regulate and educate market. And that, to me, is just a more intelligent way to manage marijuana, whether you perceive it to be a problem, as some do, or whether you perceive it to be not a problem. So the best part about 205 is that it switches the whole discussion away from pretending it's not there, pretending that we can somehow eradicate it, to a model of educating it, taxing it, regulating it, educating it. And if you want to educate to eradicate it, you know, I'm not going to oppose that at all. I'd like to eradicate alcohol.
All right. Laura, your response. What's the worst part of Proposition 205?
Well, thank you so much. For people who think that legalizing marijuana is a good public policy step for Arizona, the question that needs to be answered is, should voters pass Prop 205? What is Prop 205? As Dimitri mentioned, it's the Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act. What does it do? It creates the legal right to possess, use, and produce marijuana. It opens up 5 new lines of business beyond the medicinal application and availability. So cultivation, testing, manufacture, distribution, sale of marijuana. It's 19 pages of new laws. There's no analysis to date on the impact to Arizona's public safety or the overall cost to our community. And I think it's funny that Dimitri mentions this regulatory mechanism that Prop 205 will create. But there's so many flaws within this system. And I'd like to point out the main one. And it's important to consider because other states are already experiencing voter regret. And the ballot initiative that we're voting on is much more aggressive than what was passed in those states. But first, the major concern and the worst part of this is the major public safety risks it imposes on Arizona. The act states that driving while impaired by marijuana remains illegal. But then, in another section of the law, it says that a person may not be penalized by the state for an action taken while under the influence of marijuana or a marijuana product solely because of the presence of metabolites or components of marijuana in the person's body, urine, blood, saliva, hair, or other tissue or fluid in the person's body. When you take away the evidence that can be used to prosecute, you render that latter part of the text null and void. It would be a bit like saying, residential burglary remains illegal, but the state cannot use the defendant's fingerprints as evidence in the case.
Let me ask a question. Dimitri, what has the marijuana industry set a level of what would be considered inebriation? In other words, the amount of nanograms of THC in the system.
You know, there's a lot there, James. And the most important thing is, you know, I always tell people in this discussion, this debate, it's interesting that the debate has switched away from whether or not marijuana should be legalized to the opposition. And a lot of different states are, you know, this is not the appropriate structure with which to regulate marijuana. This is a oligopoly. This is a monopoly. This is too many licenses. This is that. And they're talking about how it should be regulated. The fact of the matter is the Arizona legislature will never legalize marijuana. So the voters have to take it into their own hands. When we wrote Prop 205, we made it very, very conservative in nature. We maintained local controls. We maintained landlord rights. We maintained local employer rights, not employee rights, which is specifically put in there. So I would urge people, it's not 19 pages, it's 37 pages. It should be 500 pages. It really should. But the fact of the matter is it would be really difficult to write an initiative that long and to get it circulated so that it can be voted on.
Okay, but just a second, Dimitri. Let me give Laura a chance to respond. Is Dimitri right?
So why say it in the first place? Why saying driving while impaired by marijuana remains illegal? Because it allows the proponents of Prop 205 to make a claim that later in the initiative they undermine and take away. And regarding that local control that the proponents of Prop 205 love to tout, most cities and towns will not be allowed to ban marijuana operations in their municipalities. Why? Because there is a bait and switch occurring. The Prop 205 campaign is telling municipalities that they can restrict additional businesses from operating through zoning ordinances. Unless, and this is what they do not mention to the public, and that's why Prop 205 deceives and misleads, unless there's already a medical marijuana dispensary in that community. It also allows the marijuana dispensaries or the other lines of business to be located near schools. The limit is 500 feet, and a community or municipality cannot change that 500 feet because it's passed through the ballot initiative process. We cannot go back and change or amend or veto this. Nope. So what the industry is giving us, and that's why I'm focused on this, I'm not talking about legalizing marijuana. We're talking about Prop 205 and should the voters vote for it.
Dimitri, your response to this. Let me ask you a question first, Dimitri.
Well, no, James, hold on a second. Okay. If this was written in a way that had a regulatory structure that you approved of, would you support the legalization of marijuana?
Dimitri, we're not talking about theory now. We're talking about the question at hand is should voters in Arizona vote for Prop 205 this November? And the answer is no, because the regulatory structure that the marijuana industry has created for their profit is not in the best interest of Arizonans.
I can go through.
And I'm giving you specific examples from the text.
Was written.
Okay.
I can go through.
Go ahead.
The whole thing was written, but it would take about an hour and a half. And it wasn't written by the marijuana industry. It was written by the MPP, a national organization that came into Arizona in the fall of 2014. And they were going to do an entire new regulatory structure, the exact same one that they use in Colorado. But we had a situation in place where there was an existing medical marijuana industry in the state of Arizona. So the existing medical marijuana industry said, how can you create an entire new regulatory structure for a commodity or a service that already exists? It's just not a question that people usually have to ask themselves from an initiative or from a government agency or from any regulatory or legislative body. So they had to adjust, and what they did essentially was grandfather in the medical marijuana industry into a recreational initiative. And then it went forward. The medical marijuana industry did not want this initiative to be written. It created a mess of a situation. Now, out of that mess, yes, certainly there's opportunity, but that mess had to be dealt with between January 2015 and April 2015, where you have a national advocacy group pushing for the legalization of marijuana when the medical marijuana industry was fine and dandy with everything that was occurring here in Arizona. So what this initiative represents is a compromise, a hybrid of this national policy of legalizing marijuana with a lot of states' interest taken into account. Now, if it gets legalized, it's just a baby step towards what most of the legalization advocates want, which I don't want, which is just free the weed. Which
okay,
is just,
Dimitri.
Know, unregulated.
Dimitri, let me interrupt because we've only got a very short time.
Sure.
Does 205 give any regulatory overview by the state legislature?
Yes, it's 100%.
That's a lie. You're misguiding. You're misleading Arizona voters. This is a ballot initiative. The only way that this could be changed is if it advances the purpose of the law, which is passed by the voters. We have the retained right in the state of Arizona for voters to pass law through the initiative process. And this is a permissive law. So anything that would restrict, anything that would change, that would make it impracticable for businesses to operate, would not be allowed. So yeah, you're misleading. You're misleading. We cannot go back and change the regulatory structure.
Okay.
The Voter Protection Act prevents the legislature. And the reason we have the Voter Protection Act.
5 seconds, Dimitri.
Of Arizona.
Okay.
Voter Protection Act allows the legislature to change it.
All right.
No, it does not.
Laura, Dimitri, please hang on for the second portion. We're going to be talking about marketing, packaging, and taxation.
Are you haunted by skeletons in your closets and files? Come to Armory Park Center on Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and learn the tricks of recycling and reuse. Bring your old clothing, shoes, and textiles. Shop for fun and frugal costumes and have your face painted to match. Mr. Nature's music will help create musical instruments. Crafts, raffle prizes, refreshments, games, and a costume parade. Recycling is a treat when you know where to throw. Learn more at 791-5000.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pests and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Fiery chili, decadent chocolate, enduring traditions at Tohono O'odham's annual Chilies and Chocolate Festival. Enjoy culinary demonstrations, Day of the Dead face painting, live music and local art Friday and Saturday, October 28th and 29th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Throughout the gardens, vendors feature Day of the Dead inspired crafts, chili roasting, chocolate and culinary tastings and more. Tickets are $15 for general public and $5 for members. For more information, visit tohonochul.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
And we're back with Laura Ciscomani and Demetra Dowling. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a short 3 hours each drive from Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And we're back. Laura Ciscomani and Demetra Dowling. We are discussing Proposition 205, the Marijuana Regulatory and Taxation Act, which got enough signatures to be on the ballot. And at the moment, according to polling for Arizona, 41% are saying yes on 205 and 53% are saying no. Demetra, if 205 fails, would you support a governor's request to the FDA and the DEA to take marijuana off the Schedule I controlled substances list and allow the states to create their own regulations at the legislature? Would you support federal rule changes to allow marijuana dispensaries to have bank accounts so tax revenue is more easily tracked?
Well, obviously, yes. Those are common sense approaches. I mean, but the fact of the matter is the reason it's going through the initiative process is because the legislature and the governor is unlikely to ever advance the legalization of marijuana. I would love to ask Laura that one question. Is there a scheme or regulatory structure that you could write yourself that would lead you to support the legalization of marijuana?
Laura?
Well, I want to go back to what you said about Prop 205 being a compromise, this compromise between the MPP and the medical marijuana dispensary owners in Arizona. I want the public to know that 96% of the campaign's business funding and 92% of their total funding comes from the Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project and from marijuana industry stakeholders who stand to profit from the drug's legalization. What Demetra hasn't told listeners is that Prop 205 creates essentially an oligarchy for our medical marijuana dispensary owners who want to expand their business. Because initially, in the first year, the only ones who can apply to the additional five licenses that will be opened, the five new lines of business that will be opened under Prop 205, are the medical marijuana dispensary owners. So we have to consider who is going to benefit from Prop 205 passing.
Okay.
And I think that's an important question to ask because this isn't a homegrown compromise between Arizonans and the MPP. This is definitely a special interest group initiative that was placed on our ballot because we had a lot of money to do that.
Okay, Laura, Demetra has a fair question. Would you support the legalization of marijuana if the state legislature is the one that controlled it?
What we are seeing in Colorado, Demetra, is that the promises made to the voters. No, I'm going to get to your point. What we've seen in Colorado is that the promises made to the voters that legalizing recreational marijuana would make communities safer has completely failed. And I'll tell you why.
That's not true.
Because the black market is still thriving in Colorado. When you take marijuana out of the illicit market, you're not driving out the cartels. No, that's not how it works. You create actually an environment. No, you create an environment, Demetra, where illegal organized crime can operate in the open because it appears to be a part of a legalized market. And now in the Denver area, they have found Cuban, Colombian, Mexican, and Vietnamese drug cartels that have set up shop, that are growing pot there, and they're exporting it to other states and other parts of the world.
Let's go back to one question. Is there a legalization scheme that you can imagine that you would support, Laura, for legalizing marijuana? If you could write it yourself.
Dimitri, the reason you don't want to address my comments about Prop 205 is because
I just want to give you a chance to answer the question. I'll talk forever.
Because you don't want to face the reality that this proposition is a bad regulatory scheme for Colorado and for Arizona, excuse me. And that's what's the topic at hand.
All right, Laura, Dimitri, I have a caller that would like to ask a question. And
can we just answer that question?
I think that's a question that's not going to be answered at the moment.
No,
but let's get to a caller, Dimitri. I've got a caller. His name is Robert. Robert, go ahead. Robert, are you there?
As usual, in this marketing, they're using puppies and kitties and little kids. If this is supposed to generate tax for education, how on earth can that be metered if these guys aren't allowed to bank their cash at the bank?
That is
there some sort of till tape that they would have to present to auditors? But they must be storing all this money in huge safes. The only way to audit the money to get what they promised for education is to bank it.
Thank you, Robert, for your question. Dimitri, how is the banking going to be handled? How is the taxation going to be handled according to 205? How do we track the taxing that will be owed to the state of Arizona? Dimitri?
Are you there? Hello?
Yes, Dimitri, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, are you there?
Did you hear the question?
Yeah.
Did you hear the question?
Absolutely. And the federal regulations for medicinal marijuana banking are going to be changed soon. You have congressmen and senators from Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Alaska, who understand, these are federal congressmen, federal senators, who understand the needs of the businesses who are now operating legally. You know where cash wasn't banked in transparently before? With the cartels, as they were selling it to people in the back alleys in the high schools, which they still are in the state of Arizona. And they're taking the cash and they're putting it in the cars and they're racing it down to Mexico. That's not a bank system. But what we're having is a slow transition towards a regulatory structure that's more accountable, that's safer. And at the federal level, you have banking legislation being introduced. All this is being taken care of in a slow process.
All right,
that's why it's unfortunate. I wish the governor would put together a blue ribbon commission on the legalization of marijuana and then do it through the legislature. Laura is right in that. In that sense, but I just like to acknowledge that this is the trend that's happening in America. And
I got you, Dimitri. I want to get to one more portion of all of this.
Laura, just a moment.
Just a moment, Laura. We pretty much covered. At the moment, there is no legal way. It's going to take federal law to change the banking laws in order for them to actually bank it and track the taxation.
It's self-reporting.
Okay. So at this point, there's one other issue here, and that is packaging and marketing. Does Proposition 205 allow for the regulation of packaging and marketing so that we're not selling gummy bears, worms, and stars, but basically just a gummy pill or something like that when it comes to the marijuana edibles? And so that packaging is not looking like the parodies of Kit Kat bars and Reese's Pieces.
You want me to answer that?
Yes, Dimitri.
Okay. So when we wrote Prop 205, we included a marijuana regulatory commission that can come in and address all these things. It would be nice if Prop 205 could be written with one or two sentences. But the fact of the matter is we saw after 2010, after the voters passed the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, the legislature tried to come in and gut it. So we had to put in a lot of provisions to make sure the legislature couldn't gut certain things. The legislature could come in without a problem and regulate with 75% of the House, 75% of the Senate, the governor's approval. And
I want to take one more call,
but
Dimitri.
Dimitri, again, you're misleading because that's only if it's advancing the law. You need 3/4 in each chamber, but only if it's permissive, if it's advancing the purpose of the law, not if they want to restrict or limit the liberties that you've already given the marijuana industry in this law.
Quickly, I got to take a call. Dimitri, I need to take a call. Ingrid, you're on the air. Ask your question very quickly, please.
Hi. I'd like to know if you'd be willing to drop all these cookies and so forth and sell it as a tincture, a liquid form, and that way children wouldn't be tricked.
Thank as you. Prop 205 is written, as what we're voting on this November, that is not possible. And that's one of the main concerns is children's safety, because Prop 205 does endanger Arizona kids. It authorizes the production and sale of high potency marijuana edibles with no limit on potency. Just like we see with the driving, there's no per se level or limit on THC in the blood.
Okay, Laura, thank you very, very much. Dimitri, you've got the last word.
Herein lies the problem with the anti-Prop 205, the pro-prohibition crowd. Would you approve a regulatory model where tinctures with THC could be properly delivered, where marijuana could be properly delivered to individuals who wanted it in an adult use market? Would you approve that?
Can that be done now through the medical dispensaries?
What we've seen in Colorado is that there has been a 600% increase in accidents amongst children. They're accidentally ingesting marijuana products that they find in their home that are given to them by other kids. They can't tell the difference. And I want to debunk the whole money for schools promise that the Prop 205 campaign is making. They're not telling voters. I'm talking about Prop 205 and the fact that it promises money to education. You are not telling people, the Prop 205 campaign is not telling people that first we have to pay for a Department of Marijuana licensing and a commission and a police force for marijuana.
Okay, so, Laura, Dimitri.
And any spillover goes to education, which is going to be a drop in the bucket.
We're coming to the bottom of the hour. Thank you both so very, very much. Spirited, wonderful. Thank you both very much. Dimitri Dowling and Laura Ciscomani.
Arizona Repertory Theater proudly presents Hands on a Hard Body, based on a true story and infused with country, rock, and gospel. This musical follows 10 down on their luck Texans, each desperate for a new lease on life. They're determined to endure days in the Texas heat for a chance to win a brand new hard body truck. The last one standing with their hand on the truck wins it. Go to tickets.arizona.edu to see this musical of strife and friendship among competing strangers. Sponsored by Madden Media. Season sponsored Chapman Automotive. Hands on a Hard Body at UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Tickets.arizona.edu.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is always on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
You are listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and green things, and ask for Catalina. For more, visit greenthings.com. In the studio with me is Arizona State Representative for Legislative District 2, Chris Ackerley. Chris, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
You have beaten the odds before when you won your seat as a Republican, where you're outregistered Democrats and Independents 3-1. How do you think you're doing this time around? Do you think incumbency has helped you? And tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Nogales.
Well, this is a little bit of an interesting cycle. So I'm not sure that I know anything at all about how the election is going to turn out. You're right. I represent a district that, as far as registration goes, is heavily stacked against my party, the Republican Party. There was not a whole lot of people who expected me to actually win the district. I hope I have lived up to doing what I said I was going to do. I think I have. I've had people tell me that on the campaign trail, that they were appreciative of that. And so I do. I got into politics because I'm an educator, and I was focused on, that's my passion. I was focused on education policy. And the other theme I'm running on is that I can help represent the communities and the people that I represent. Because I am a Republican, I do have a seat at the negotiating table. While I don't have all the chips in front of me, I do have a seat at the table, and have worked hard to look out for the interests of the communities in Pima and Santa Cruz County. Most of the bills, in fact, that I ran weren't big state headline-grabbing bills. They were specific bills to the communities that I represent that, if we went into the details, your eyes would roll back into your head. But they were significant to solve legislative issues for the communities that I represent.
Give us an example of a couple of the bills that you were successful in getting signed by, getting through committee, getting through the House and the Senate, and signed by the governor.
So one of them was for Green Valley Recreational, which is basically the quasi-government organization that works in
Green Valley. Green Valley is unincorporated.
Yeah, Green Valley is unincorporated. And they're a very large member-driven nonprofit. So they have lots and lots of members, tens of thousands of members, because anybody who is in a homeowners association down there is a member of the Green Valley Recreational. And under previous state law, they could not conduct electronic elections, right? So they had to spend an enormous amount of their budget every year conducting a paper election. right? And so we got a measure passed that said, no, member-driven nonprofits can do electronic elections. There has to be provisions to allow people who don't have electronic access to participate, but the bulk of it could be done electronic. It's going to save them tens of thousands of dollars that can be spent on pickleball courts or recreation centers or something else other than just the administration of the elections. I passed a measure for the city of South Tucson. They had a problem with their secondary property tax levy. There were groups in Maricopa that were about to come after them. And so we did a preventive measure to say, okay, let's put something in place rather than beating everybody up. Let's put something in place so that this could never happen again. And so we made it so that those types of property tax levies have to go before the property oversight committee so that there is some due process, then people have a way to raise the red flag and say, hey, wait a minute, there's something not right about this. I also was able to pass a measure for the small town of Patagonia. Arizona state statute was more restrictive than the federal FEMA guidelines, and they needed some relief under that. So I was able to move that measure through the state legislature to give them the maximum flexibility under federal statute or federal regulation that they needed to help their housing problem.
And that was alleviating like floodplains and things like that. Exactly. Tell us about transportation and what we got accomplished for Southern Arizona.
Well, a huge issue. It's a huge issue for Santa Cruz County, but it's a huge issue for the entire state because over a third of the produce that comes into the United States comes through Nogales. It comes through the La Mariposa port in Nogales. But currently there is no real highway between the La Mariposa port and I-19. And so I was able to advocate for and get included in the budget And my part, there's a lot of people working on this, but my part was to ensure that if we were going to do transportation funding in this last year's budget, that part of that discussion was SR 189, which is the road between those two ports. So we got an additional $25 million in funding for that project. It's not all the way there yet, but it allows that there's enough funds dedicated to that project that we can start the process to make that happen. And everybody is in agreement that has to happen.
We're looking forward to the next session. And should you win your race, what are we looking at in terms of change of leadership, attitude of the legislature? Obviously, we're not going to know everybody that's going to be new or who's going to be returned. But what is your feel from your colleagues? What the next legislation, the next legislative session is going to look like, and what are going to be the big issues?
Well, as far as the House side goes, it will be under Republican control. There are 34 safe races, right? That it was decided in the primary, and so there is some discussion about the Senate. I think while it is statistically possible, I think it's highly unlikely that the Democrats go 5-for-5 and actually take control of the Senate. But it is statistically possible. But I think and so the leadership in the House, if everything stays as it seems to be right now. The Speaker of the House will be Representative J.D. Mesnard from the Maricopa County area.
Would you get any kind of seniority for a committee assignment to be chairman as opposed to just a member?
Well, I am hopeful. I mean, I won't be a freshman. I will be hopefully we will get some more representation from Southern Arizona. But I will be one of only two returning legislators, right, from Pima County.
Wow.
Right. And so, you know, budget negotiations are what budget negotiations are. Now, Representative Mesnard has put out a document and he has vowed to make that process more transparent, right? More involvement of the members so that we're not just voting up or down on the deal when the deal gets made. We actually have some input into the deal. But at the end of the day, right, it's about 31 votes, right? And if you're not part of that 31, you don't have any leverage in the budget. For protecting the interests of Southern Arizona, I think it's important that we have some representation in the majority caucus.
Outstanding. In terms of the budget, do you think that there will be a slower process in the next legislative session, or do you think it will be pretty much a lot of the same in terms of the governor, his leadership will create it, and then you guys will be voting on it at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I think and am hopeful that we will see a slower, more methodic, more detailed process for dealing with the budget.
One of your great successes was getting the funding back into JTED.
Well, it wasn't my success alone, but right. I did spearhead the effort on the House side, and then bring a lot of people in, particularly industry supporters of JTED, to talk with the other members of the House and the Senate, for that matter, about the importance of career and technical education, and that these are programs that we should be investing in. And so, yes, I was very happy to see that we reversed that mistake, restored the funding for JTED. And so our next step in this next legislative session, people have been talking about what's the next step after Prop 123. Well, I can tell you very definitely what I think the next step should be. The first step should be restoring ninth grade funding for JTED for those programs that span, you know, from middle school through high school, to return funding for ninth grade JTED. And then the next step is returning full-day kindergarten weight funding.
I was just getting ready to ask you about full-day kindergarten. Terrific. What do you think? Prop 205, up or down?
Oh, I knew I was going to get this question after the heated debate that was there. I can see arguments on both sides for legalizing marijuana. I tend to go, probably not something we should do, but I can see valid arguments for and against. But what I can tell you is the language of this proposition – the language itself is so problematic. I think we are in for a world of hurt if it actually passes. In fact, I was on a panel for pre-law students with many of my Democratic colleagues from Southern Arizona. And as we went down the line, every one of them said some other aspect of this that was problematic and would have to be fixed. And that's just, you know, it is, I think we need a do-over.
Outstanding. Thank you. Chris Ackerley, Arizona representative to the state legislature for Legislative District 2. Thank you so very much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
And we are back with the Bill Buckmaster Show. I just want to say thank you, Ray, keeping me on schedule and on target. I also want to thank Bill Buckmaster for allowing me to be his guest host today. It has been an honor and a privilege. With me now is Margaret Sanford. Bookholder.
Yeah, my maiden name pulled that out. Yeah.
Margaret is running for Pima County Superintendent of Public Instruction. And Margaret, please tell us, what are the duties of the Pima County Superintendent of Public Instruction?
So if you think back to the olden days, when Arizona was still the wild, wild west, though some may argue we're still pretty wild, during the wild, wild west, you often had circuit preachers and circuit doctors and circuit midwives that would travel and support small communities, small rural communities. Well, our superintendents began that way. We had lots of little rural one-house schools all over Pima County. And so we had one locally elected officer, and that's the county school superintendent. Same thing with sheriff. You had law enforcement in all these small communities, but we elected the sheriff. So as the sheriff is responsible for maintaining law in Pima County, the county school superintendent is responsible for schools. So schools have obviously grown, as have all of the communities here in Pima County. So now most schools have their own school superintendent that manages the day-to-day administration of schools. However, there still are four or five small school districts. Some are attendance where the kids are simply tuitioned out to other districts. And then there's some that the Pima County schools does continue to support, just so that they can have some of the benefits that larger school districts have.
What do the statutes say that you're supposed to do and can do?
So there's the fiscal responsibility. So through the Pima County Superintendent's Office, there is nearly $1 billion of school district payroll and expenses that go through that office. It acts somewhat as the treasurer. So school boards allocate money, and then their business offices say, here's who we're going to pay. So they write those warrants, and then the superintendent executes those warrants. Then They also register and record more than 8,000 teaching certificates. So all of the teaching certificates are managed through the superintendent's office. They provide homeschool support. So if you decide that home is the best place to school your child, you have support, information, and then the paperwork. And so I have many friends who have chosen to homeschool their kids, and it's important to them that they have somebody in this office who supports the choices that they're making, and to make sure that homeschooling is benefiting kids, and to make sure that parents have the resources they need to do a good job. And then the Pima County School Superintendent also administers the Pima Accommodation District, which includes the juvenile court system. And so incarcerated youth, they're they have a school, obviously, and so she serves as a superintendent of that school and the administration of that school. And then most importantly, from my perspective, is school elections. So there's a lot of talk in this debate about the president at the presidential level about who's going to be appointing the next Supreme Court justice. That's obviously a big deal in many people's minds. And the county school superintendent, it's that office's responsibility to appoint school board members if there is a vacancy. And so who's going to be appointing those members? Do you want someone who wants to pick the politically expedient choice that, you know, doesn't make waves, or the right choice?
So, do you have any involvement with the Pima Community College District?
So it's their school, it's their board as well. So the 16 school districts within Pima County and the Pima Community College School Board.
Do you have any influence on how to either correct, improve, or help the Pima Community College District with getting their accreditation back in some of their curriculum?
Well, my background, and I'm sure you're going to talk to me today a little bit about what makes me different than my opponent, but my background is in curriculum and teaching and professional development. So my job is to support others and make their schools great in whatever way my office can. And so whether it's using it as a bully pulpit with the legislature and saying these are the resources that we need, whether it's communicating with the public, here are the amazing things our schools are doing, or shining a light on the things that need to be fixed and changed. That'll be one of the duties that I bring to this office, one of the roles I bring.
There is a number of issues going on within the Tucson Unified School District right now. One is there's a school on the south side called Utterback that is dealing with bullying, that is dealing with uncertified teachers, or at least substitutes that have been automatically put on full-time substitute as opposed to just, you know, day by day. Does your office have any influence on correcting those issues if the TUSD school board is unable to?
I would advocate to the legislature that it is the state's responsibility. This is not a federal, it is not in the U.S. Constitution. To education is not mentioned in the U.S. Constitution, so that is one of the state's duties. And it is in our Constitution. And one of the things that the state has to do is provide a nearly free public education to its citizens. What is the state doing? What are we doing to attract and retain teachers? Tucson has some of the lowest teacher pay out of 10 cities in the Western United States. How is this? What are we doing to fix these problems? So it's the citizens' responsibility to address that by who they elect to school boards and how they're going to handle teacher attention and recruitment. It's also the legislature. I mean, we just had Chris Ackerley. What I love about Chris and why I'm happy to support him in his race is because he is an educator. He completely understands what's going on in the classroom and which subjects are really needing quality instructional staff. And I've actually worked at Utterback. I was a teacher mentor there, so I completely understand the issues that are going on. So do we want somebody in this office? I'm a teacher. I was in the classroom. I actually took the day off today so I could do a few things, because education has been my life's work, and I need to take the time to get out and let the public know I'm the best candidate for this job. So, again, thank you for allowing me here.
Well, thank you, Margaret. There's just one last question I wanted to ask you. I think you kind of answered it, but your opponent, Dustin Williams, what kind of what makes you more experienced? What makes you better than Dustin Williams as a candidate?
When I first met him, because there was heard of him in a newspaper article, and in this article by the, I believe it was in the Tucson Weekly, he talked about that he, you know, his early young adult life had been kind of aimless, and he had done, you know, jobs here and there, and then he finally found his niche in education. And I've seen him move from a teacher to an administrator, and now he wants this top administrative job. So, I mean, I've met him, wonderful, nice man. However, he does not have the experience I have. I have devoted my life to making lives better for others as a teacher. I've been a teacher for 15 years. I'm currently president of the Vail School Board, have been on the Vail Board for 12 years. We went from very average to number one in the state. And I have the experience in the classroom, in the boardroom, and in administration, he just doesn't have. So if you compare the resume, I win.
Thank you, Margaret Buchholder, very much, a candidate for Pima County Superintendent of Schools. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Chris Ackerley. Thank you, Laura Siskamani and Dimitri Dowling. You made this a great show for me. And thank you, Bill Buckmaster, for allowing me to guest host. Have a great Thursday, everyone.